Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, happy new year. 2018 is here, and I know it sounds like I am in a bathroom recording this today.
I promise you're not.
But I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I've got a man with me. And we are in we're in a room at a hotel in Slough.
You're not making it sound any better.
No. Nope. And so I'm in Slough. It sounds like we're in a bathroom. It's a little bit echoey. But I've got with me today a gentleman who's been part of the EC family now for several years. And many members have become customers of his. He has, you'll have seen him at our national events. You've seen him at our implementer days. He's someone that has given a lot to the EC network and the members over time. And his name is Nick Fenmore Collins. Nicholas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So just you better explain where we are.
Where we are in terms
of... No, no, literally... Physically,
so we are in a conference room in a hotel in Slough.
Yep.
It's currently November, and it's
looking... spoiled the illusion now.
Am I?
It's not. It's
Sorry.
January. Nick.
January.
This is the January podcast.
It feels like it could
Happy
be January.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, and it's pretty gloomy in here, really.
Nick and I have just finished an Inner Circle day, and so we are recording this podcast for you, and it has the potential to get a little bit fruity today, because you see, Nick and I have a significant disagreement on one particular topic.
And quite a long-standing one.
Well, yes, it's go back a long way. And so it's a bit of a grudge match, this. So place your bets now. But Nick and I are going to talk about SEO, search engine optimization. Okay, because I have not a lot of interest in SEO at all. I much prefer to take control of my marketing activity, of my marketing spend. I prefer to invest my time and energy and money in things that I have control of and that I can track decisively. And SEO scores very badly against those measures. I prefer to do things that can have a quick impact, a quick response, so I know how they are doing. I prefer to do things that are as black and white as possible, so people can't pull the wool over my eyes. And I prefer to build a business on things that are within my control. And therefore, SEO gets barely any of my kind of bandwidth as a marketer. Nick, on the other hand, has a very different view.
I certainly do. And kind of, you've laid it fairly thick on the line there, Nige.
Just saying it how it is, mate.
Absolutely. And in a lot of respects, you're right. There's a lot of times when
SEO... So thanks for joining us on the podcast.
However. So, yeah, there's a lot of times when you're right. But within the EC, I would imagine that most businesses are long-term businesses. They're not here for that quick win.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, investing in SEO as a long-term strategy is certainly a good thing for a lot of the businesses to be doing. The key thing here is, yes, you still need to measure and track everything, and we can measure and track the results of search engine optimization very clearly, and we do search engine
optimization. No, you can't.
You absolutely
can. No, you can't. No, I mean, this is. Come on, then. Let's talk about that then for a moment.
Okay.
So, how much money do you want me to spend on SEO this month, Nick, in January? How much do you want to spend?
So for most businesses, £150 to £250.
Okay, per month?
Per month.
Okay, all right. So I spend £250 in January, and you want me to keep spending that money every month?
Yep.
Okay. When am I going to start seeing a return in terms of additional sales that I know have come from that spend? It's January now.
Yep.
Not November, Nick. It's January.
So January. Six to eight months. So
six to eight months.
July,
okay.
August.
So let's go for July. I'll give you a month. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in for seven lots of £250. So I've paid out £1,750.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's right. So I've paid. It might be £1,650. I'm still a little bit hungover after the after the New Year celebrations. But either way, I'm in for £1,650, Okay, yeah. And what am I going to start seeing in 7 months' time?
Right, you're going to see, well, you'll see results sooner than that. So the key thing is to be very
specific.
Like what?
What am I going to see?
You're going to see return on investment in terms of people coming to your site and transacting with you.
But you said it's measurable. How am I going to track it? How is it measurable?
Okay, so it's measurable in analytics. So through Google Analytics, we can see how many people have come in through an organic search rather than through a pay-per-click search.
But if I spend my money now, I spent £1,600 from January to July.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money to spend. Because if I spend that money on Facebook ads or even on AdWords, I could spend that money in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I could have all the traffic and have all the customers and have all the money to reinvest to do it again in, well, I've got to wait 7-8 months.
If it's worked for you. That's the key thing. And I think one of the key principles here is SEO is not right for every business, but it is certainly right for a lot of businesses. SEO, once you've started the money invested, it's the gift that keeps giving, because you don't. There was a time when there was lots of algorithm shuffles, and yes, there was the chance that you could climb.
What, last year, you mean?
No, really, 2014 though stopped. So the world of SEO has been very settled for the last few years.
Yeah, but you're at the behest. But no one, you don't know. Google have not made any promises. No. They could do something next week, Nick, and you wouldn't know about it till it happened, and it could destroy all the stuff you've put in. Yep. So you've spent a large chunk of money, you've had to wait a very long time, it's completely out of your control. Well, there's better things people can do with their money.
But let's look at that. Let's look at what Google's, if you think about what Google's job is to do, it is to deliver the very best results for the people using them as a search engine.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
And when we talk about SEO, we're very much focusing, gone are the days of link building. Let's get that clear. You're not paying for link building. Okay. What you're paying for is good quality, making sure the pages are highly relevant so that when Google comes in and looks through your site, it's going, right, okay. So let's take an example business. So let's pick somebody who's been in the room today. So if we took Brendan, for example, with his conservatory roofs.
Okay.
If somebody's looking for insulated conservatory roofs and Brendan has a page that's well optimized on there, then Google will want to send people to that page, and it's really making sure that within Brendan's site that's exactly what's happening and we're getting the relevance. A lot of the investment of that 150 is actually in the software that tracks things. So we're talking about obviously the Google Analytics and reporting on there, but also call tracking. So for example, for a lot of businesses, unless you're an e-commerce business, you're going to be generating leads, and a lot of those leads will come through phone calls. So what we want to be doing is putting phone tracking into place and measuring the number of calls that are coming through there. That's how we're measuring the investment.
So that some of the payment that I'm making, I'm paying for the tracking.
Yeah.
Okay, but what work's actually going on to make it better? Because the tracking per se won't make my rankings better, will it?
So there's a job of work up front with. So if a client came to us today and they haven't done search engine optimization in the past, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to do some technical SEO on their site. Number one, we've got to make sure that their site's high quality. So in terms of what Google are looking at in order, it wants to deliver highly relevant results and it wants to deliver people to quality websites.
Yes.
So we're going to look through the site and make sure that it's that the content is very relevant. We're also going to look through the site and make sure there's nothing in there that could lower the quality score within Google. So make sure all the images are loaded, there aren't broken links on the site. Very importantly at the moment that the site speed is good, which most sites it will be. A lot of WordPress templates do have issues with speed, so we want to make sure that that's not going to stop the website performing. So we're doing that. We're doing that initial work, making sure the quality is there, making sure the website's technically good, and then going through the website and doing a piece of work in terms of making sure that all the pages are highly relevant to the search. I probably should take a step back there, because one of the first things that we need to do is look at the keywords that company is trying to target and make sure that there are specific pages throughout the website.
Now this is where I think you and I are completely aligned. Because the more useful the content on your website is, the better it is for the people that get there.
Yep.
And as Google has got more and more sophisticated, so Google are more aligned and are recognizing that good quality content that gives people what they're looking for,
yep,
does get ranked higher.
So absolutely.
I got a little message today. I've just been looking at while you were talking there, from longstanding EC member Sue Ellis, who runs a company called Invesco. It's a training company. They do a lot of health and safety training, food training, that sort of thing.
Right, yes.
And she just happens a little PS on her note. How much does a food hygiene certificate cost? blog article,
yeah,
is now showing on the first page of Google.
Absolutely.
When people are looking for food hygiene certificates.
Yes.
And it's because what Sue's done there is she's written a piece of content that is completely relevant and useful, mm-hmm, and
yeah,
applicable to people looking at food hygiene certificates. And Google has recognized that and has given it a high ranking. And what Sue has done there, by the way, is she's followed the teachings, for want of a better phrase, of Marcus Sheridan, whose book They Ask, You Answer is absolutely, by a country mile, not only my favourite, but the most useful business book I read last year.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have read it also.
Absolutely, yes.
And interestingly, you know, most members of my inner circle, certainly all my masterminders, have read it, and lots have implemented, and lots have seen the impact that Sue has seen.
Yeah.
In other words, they've written useful content that's helpful in their marketing, and as a happy byproduct, they've suddenly started appearing on the top page of Google.
Yes.
What they haven't done, Nick, is spent any money doing it. So
yeah,
there's a spend, because it's a spend of time, and I get that, but there isn't a financial spend, so it makes it easier to do. And that sort of SEO, in inverted commas, I'm all for and all.
And absolutely, people can do SEO themselves, and it is led from the good quality, but it's also making sure that elements within the site are right to get results. So that is making sure that the page title matches the title of the blog. So hopefully a lot of blog technologies use the title of the blog post as the
title of the page.
It
is important, that, isn't it? And you can see that, can't you, in terms of the URL and the as a visitor. Again, if you'll know very quickly, help me out here a little bit on the technical side, but
yeah.
It is, if you've got when you go to a page on your website and you look in the little bar at the top of the screen and it gives you the URL.
Yes.
If it's just your site, you know, www.blahblahblah.co.uk/9786327, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So you're looking for, after the .co.uk/, looking for some words
which mirror the name of the
page.
Tie
into what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But also where the tab is at the top, if you're hovering your cursor,
yes,
you should see the start of the start of the actual title of the page. You should hover over there and it should show you the entirety of that title.
Let's just try and be clear, because this is difficult without any visuals. So where do I see that if I hover my cursor?
So when you've got browser windows open,
yes,
you've got multiple windows, there are tabs
at the top. Yes.
And you'll see a few letters in there, depending on how wide that tab is and how many,
yes,
windows you've got open.
Yeah.
But if you hover your cursor over there, it will show you the entirety of that title.
So that's another way to look for the same information we just,
yep,
talked about that is there.
Absolutely.
So getting those titles right happen a lot. What is metadata, Nick?
Metadata is some of the hidden data that sits behind the that isn't visual to you unless you know where to look for it, but it's hidden on the page, and it's something that Google can read. These days, the only piece of metadata, there are lots of different metadata these days, but actually the key one to think about from an SEO point of view is the meta description. And the reason we need to think about that one is because not always, but more often than not, Google will use that meta description to display within the search results. So
okay,
if you've got some key information in there that ties in with the topic and lures people in to read your article rather than the other 9 articles that are on the page.
Okay, so that is important, isn't it? Because obviously when you're paying for traffic with Google through AdWords, you get to write the ad.
Absolutely.
So and effectively that's what you're doing here when you're putting the page up. And a lot of people listening to Google will have a content management system, a CMS for their website, so they'll have a lot of control over this. And if you're putting the right words in your meta description, that that can be a deal breaker, can't it, in terms of how Google are going to rank it, because it determines what Google see when they're looking at the page.
Yeah, it's less important than it used to be, but it can be a deal breaker in terms of whether you're the you're the link that's clicked from the search results. So putting a call to action in there is a very good idea, but you also need to think about matching some text from the page to lure people into to read that that particular page rather than your competitor's page.
So we're agreeing then on the fact that having a website that is full of useful content, that is structured and organized properly, because that's what this meta stuff is.
Yes,
but
that
is a good thing. I get
Absolutely. That.
And I also know that if you know, doing that sort of thing, and speed of your site matters a lot, doesn't it, as well?
It does. That's one of the key quality scores that Google's looking at. And
because we heard last month on the podcast from Laura Moxon, who'd been out to Google in New York, and she was saying just how important, from her time with the Google team over there, just how important and significant now the speed of your website is. And there is the Google website checker.
Yes,
Is something that, again, that everybody should be just running your domain through.
Yes, yeah. And there's actually a specific page. If you go into Google and Google Page Speed Insights, that takes you straight into a little thing. You can put your web. It measures page by page. It doesn't do the entirety of your website, but you can put in a web address into there, and it will tell you the speed it's loading and what you can do to improve
Does it say whether it's acceptable or not?
It gives you a score out of 100 for both mobile and the desktop view.
Okay.
And obviously mobile is another thing that
we'll talk about in a minute.
We'll come on to. It gives you scores out of 100, and obviously if you're below 60, it flashes red, then amber, and then green.
So where should your score be out of 100?
As high as you can possibly get it.
Because there's going to be the law of diminishing returns, isn't there?
Yeah.
So if I'm 80, am I okay?
Yeah, you're probably okay at 80. Okay. The key rule for this is if your competitors are scoring 90 and you're scoring 80, you're scoring less. So have a look at what the people around you are doing.
So don't just put your domain in, put the other people that are around you. Yeah. That's very helpful.
Because even a poorly optimized site, if all your competitors are poorly optimized, you're going to do a reasonable job.
In the land of the blind.
Exactly,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, just another thing there, just important, that I think most people are aware of, but just to be clear, because when you search Google, you're not actually searching the internet. You're searching the kind of picture of the internet that Google has on its own servers.
Correct.
So, yeah. And then when you click the links on the results, that then takes you to the internet.
That's right.
So Google has these bots or spiders, as they're called, that are constantly going and finding pages and indexing them on Google servers, and that's what you are searching.
Yes.
When you are searching, and that's why, what Google indexes isn't websites at all. It indexes web pages.
Correct.
And that's why when you do a Google search, oftentimes actually, you can get organic, not the paid search, but the organic searches can often have two or three results from the same website.
That's right,
But they are different pages, and that's because it's what you're getting, web pages played back to you in the search results.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did I do okay there?
And sometimes Google might view your entire site as relevant. So if what you do is one specific thing and your entire website is talking about that, chances are Google's going to show your homepage. If you do 10 different things, for example, we build websites, we do search engine optimization, we do pay-per-click, it will find that specific page if somebody's looking for search engine optimization and bring that page forward rather than the home page.
Got it. Okay. So you mentioned this tracking and measuring, and you talked about calls. Let's talk a bit about that then, because I'm still a bit skeptical.
Okay.
Well, I can see how I might... I would spend some time putting some good content on my site. And again, I hesitate somewhat, but there's always a risk when you try and kind of summarize or paraphrase an entire book in 30 seconds that you diminish it. And I would urge anyone that has a business that they are serious about over the medium term, I would urge you to get a copy of Sheridan's book, They Ask, You Answer. And he will talk in there about, the principle of the whole book is actually you make a list and you brainstorm all the questions your customers have ever asked you and are asking you in the sales process, and you answer each one properly and at length, as a separate blog post, effectively, with the title of the blog post being the question that they are asking.
Correct.
And you then put those articles, not in the blog as such. He's created what he calls a knowledge centre. And a number of EC members have done this now over the last few months and have seen, I mean, significant uplifts in not just their traffic, but indeed in their conversions, in the quality of people that they're going to see. Because when you turn up to meet someone and they've already visited 40 pages on your website because they've consumed your content, doesn't that often make it easier to build that confidence and trust and sell?
I'm going to add something in there. You refer to a knowledge center. In terms of where we sit from a technology point of view, knowledge center is just the name of the section you hold
exactly.
the data in.
Yes.
Don't get caught up on thinking, oh gosh, I've got to get knowledge center technology or anything.
No.
Just create a blog and put that blog into a page or a section called Knowledge Center.
Yeah.
It can just live within your blog. From Google's point of view, they're not going to really care where it lives. From a user point of view, if they see a Knowledge Center, they'll go and then ingest those 40 pages rather than just the one.
We're agreed about that broadly speaking, it's a good thing to add high quality, useful content that's structured properly onto your website.
Correct.
So I can agree with you there,
okay?
But I'm still not gonna spend my money
on
this SEO malarkey.
Right.
I'm gonna spend my money on the stuff that I can see the results of in the short term.
Okay.
Because when I spend money, I want to get a response. And I can spend that, if I invest that money in AdWords, I can know literally, overnight, whether that's working, and if I don't, and if I spend my 250 quid in January and it's not working, I stop spending it.
Yeah,
whereas
absolutely.
With this SEO, I'm in till July. You just told me I've got to wait 7 months.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely an investment, but the returns can certainly outweigh. Like any marketing, it has to be highly measured. And you have to make sure you're getting returns from it. And quite rightly,
how do you measure it then?
We measure it by results. So the first thing that we do is keyword tracking. So when we start doing the search engine optimization, we load up a third party piece of software that we utilize with those keywords, and we can set that to either twice a week, once a week, fortnightly. Initially, we'll certainly do it twice a week,
so
we can measure how our efforts to improve those keywords positioning is working.
So you effectively identify the keywords that you want to rank on the search engines for, and your software goes and effectively does searches for those terms once or twice a week, and it reports back.
Yeah, and so it uses a completely clean database. There's no history of search.
So I get that. So that's useful and interesting, but that's not tracking my return on my investment, because I've moved up a few places and I'm now in 12th position on page 2 as opposed to 112th position on page 22. That doesn't mean I'm getting any more money.
Yeah.
I can't allocate sales to that. Whereas when I'm tracking my AdWords, I know exactly who's come, I know what I've paid for it, I know what my click-through rate was, I know what my conversion cost was.
Yep.
I can track all those leads right through my site.
Yep, absolutely. And if you are on position 12 on page 2, then chances are you're getting very little. We only really start to get interested once you're onto page 1 and certainly higher up on page 1.
But even when I'm on page 1, the tracking tool that you just talked about, that tells me I'm on page 1.
Yep.
But it doesn't, I can't, there's a disconnect from there to the money in my bank account that isn't there with paid search, for instance, because I can follow the money all the way through.
Well, you do get some element of disconnect, because unfortunately Google don't give us, they used to, but they don't give us the data as to which keywords have generated an action. Interestingly, if you're doing SEO and it's getting an effect on Bing or Yahoo, Google in their analytics tools give you that data, and you can then track which keyword has generated an action, a visit to a page, a phone call, or a purchase. So yes, there is a disconnect at that point, but you can certainly track organic traffic as a whole, and you can look at how that organic traffic has grown, and you can attribute sales to organic traffic. So as a whole, if you're doing an investment in terms of SEO, yes, we don't know what specific or which specific keyword triggered a conversion. What we do know is organic traffic generated this many visits to a site,
right,
and this many conversions. So we certainly track that. We can use advanced technologies with more advanced call tracking, where we can, the phone number actually switches out if they've come from organic, or it switches if they're
now that's interesting. I can see how that's interesting, and I do see how that's very clever. And obviously, I know about the different phone numbers on AdWords and pay per click. I get all that. So from your perspective, what sort of businesses should be thinking about SEO as a marketing pillar?
Right. So I would say anyone who's doing pay-per-click, unless you've got a very short-term pay-per-click goal in terms of actually we need action on this in a week and then we don't care after that,
yes,
then you should be doing SEO. You probably should be doing search engine optimization regardless. And the reason for that is because of the quality scores.
Yeah.
If Google's coming into your site and it's seeing a low quality score on the site because the page is less relevant than it possibly could, then you're going to be paying extra for your pay-per-click. Now, in the short term with a small budget, we're probably not going to worry too heavily about that, but anything with longer term and bigger budgets, it starts to impact the amount that you're spending for your clicks.
When you say spending money on SEO, because the content that we talked about a few minutes ago doesn't involve spending money. So what am I spending? I get there's some tracking tools. Well, I get that.
It could involve spending money, but you certainly can do it yourself. So you might employ a company like ours so that every time you do a blog, we get alerted there's a blog there. We come in and optimize it. We do things like making sure the metadata's there, tweaking the titles, tweaking the headings, putting the key phrase at certain different points throughout the content just to maximize its chances through the search engines. So we may end up doing that. One of the key things that a lot of people miss is then doing linking internally within your website. So if you're doing a blog post about, well, let's take the Marcus Sheridan approach, if you're doing a blog post about swimming pool prices, you link from that into your swimming pool prices page on your site and vice versa back to the blog post so people can get in it that way. And that boosts the relevance in Google's eyes as well.
All right. Okay. So AdWords I get. Mm-hmm. Local businesses?
Local businesses, we seem to... one of the things with search engine optimization is you stand a much better chance if there are fewer competitors.
Yes.
So if you're a national firm and you're selling Disney DVDs, there are a lot of people out there trying to sell Disney DVDs, and it's going to be really hard work. And in all honesty, if you came to us saying that, we'd probably say, no, we really don't want your business.
But if you were a dog groomer in Stratford-upon-Avon...
Absolutely. You're probably in a pool of five other dog groomers within that area, and actually doing some search engine optimization on your site will put you up there very high, you know, high in the listings with very little, you know, really, really little work in terms of search engine optimization. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, so long as you've got a good quality site with nothing seriously broken and you put some good content on that site, you probably wouldn't need to do much in the way of SEO.
As long as you put the content on the site in the right way.
Yeah.
That which is what we've already already covered.
Absolutely.
So even given your strong advocacy of this spurious marketing pillar. actually, that does remind me. You probably won't remember the Monty Python sketch that came out following the trial of Jeremy Thorpe.
No.
Do you remember?
I fear that may predate me.
Yeah, all right, okay. Jeremy Thorpe was the leader of the Liberal Party in the 1970s. And, I mean, it's an incredible story. In fact, there is a... there is a book actually, which was it's called A Very British Scandal, and it's a fantastic story. I mean, you could not make the story up.
Okay.
And Thorpe was a closet homosexual and had been for many, many years, one of these kind of well kept secrets in Westminster sort of thing.
Yeah.
And but he was the leader of the Liberal Party. And long story, he went on trial in I think it was like 1976 for the attempted murder of a chap called Norman Scott, who excuse me, he was accused of having a relationship with. And he hired this guy to kill Norman Scott. This was the charge. And it ended up, the whole thing was bungled. And instead, Norman Scott's dog got killed. But the leader of the Lib Dems went on trial for murder, for attempted murder. And in the summing up, because the establishment absolutely kind of rallied,
yeah.
And Monty Python did a wonderful sketch around this that began with the judge doing his summing up. Members of the jury, as you are considering your not guilty verdict. And I was aware that I had perhaps slipped into that mode there as I was talking about your spurious essay.
Yeah,
as you defend this spurious marketing pillar. So who shouldn't do SEO?
So as with any marketing, actually, people with low converting websites, if your website does not convert, don't spend...
Either into... sales or leads.
Either, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're absolutely. Not getting a steady flow of inquiries or forms filled in or phone calls from your website.
Yeah, then stop your marketing.
Okay.
Well, stop your digital marketing,
I should say.
Throwing the baby out with the bathwater there.
Let's go back to basics and look at the marketing plan, is what I think you meant to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And possibly the business as a whole, because obviously if it's not converting, we need, you know, something's fundamentally wrong with that site.
Okay.
So SEO's not going to fix that. So if you've got a high level of commoditized competition, by that's the DVD example.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, you're going to find it really difficult to make it work. And and also businesses who actually do something that nobody really knows about and actually isn't being searched,
yes.
Which you know, we come across this fairly regularly actually, and you just think, well, actually what you do, there's nobody searching for that, because you know, you're almost a niche beyond a niche.
They're special.
Yeah absolutely.
Okay so the problem again with a lot of this from a practical perspective is that everyone's busy, Nick. You know, no one's woken up this morning, especially not now at the start of a year. You know, people, there's a little bit of buzz and excitement, anticipation, it's going to be my 2018's my year.
Yes, yeah.
But no one is, you know, I've got that spare 3 hours on Wednesday after, I wonder what I can do. Everybody's busy.
Yeah.
And they haven't got time to do this.
Yeah, they haven't got time to do Facebook ads. They haven't got time to do pay-per-click ads. This should be one of your, you know, if your business fits into one of these categories, it needs to be one of your marketing pillars. I've kind of saved a couple of gems to later on here.
You better get them out soon. We're going to finish in a minute.
Yeah, you'll cut me off before the...
if you look like you might win the argument, I might, yeah.
Absolutely. One of the key factors, and this data is a few years old, but I always refer back to it because actually it won't have changed in that period, is in terms of where people click in the search engine results,
yes.
You get the first kind of three. It's four AdWords listings,
yes.
Now, depending on your business,
yeah.
And depending on the day, it does vary vastly. But
interesting that Google put at the top people that are paying, isn't it, Nick?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to be at the top of the search engines, you should do AdWords.
Yeah, and when you do that, most people who use Google as a search engine, and this is Google's biggest issue, go straight past those ads. And I've run numerous training camps within the EC, and I ask this question every time: who clicks where?
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of people ignore the ads and click on the organic listings.
50% of people click on the ads, and you get the results straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certainly no harm in trying to dominate the search results and being there with your advert, your places listing, and being there in the organic.
You mean
as well.
Google My Business?
Google My Business.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you could be for the key terms that are right for you. You could be spending money on AdWords, and therefore you appear with a paid ad. You absolutely could be there with your Google My Business listing, which Google are also giving great prominence to. And if you've done this,
and they're likely to make one of those listings, if not two, a paid listing soon. So that might come into the pay per click mix. But that's a topic for another time, as and when it happens.
And then you've got the organic stuff underneath it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the organic is getting less and less of the Americans would call the real estate. The actual page itself, if we go back historically, we chart it over 10 years, what's happened is there's less and less room being given to the organic listings. It's another reason not to waste time and money and energy doing this spurious marketing pillar.
There is undoubtedly less real estate, but the clicks that area receives are still high, because people will scroll straight past those ads. It's a trust thing. People don't like, they like Google to give them the results rather than them being forced on them by wealthy companies. Nobody quite understands the psychology, but that's what plays out. And we had some, the data that I refer to, which is a few years old, it comes from 2013, so quite a number of years now.
So you're relying on outdated facts to support your argument.
I mean, absolutely.
I feel the case here is one. Yes. Members of the jury.
But about 35% of clicks went to the top three organic mm-hmm. listings, and then number one in the top three pay-per-click listings, and number one in the organic was receiving 50% of clicks. Okay. So bearing in mind that people will click on several several links at the same time.
Fake news.
absolutely quality research, just a few years old. The second thing to consider...
But genuinely, actually, you do have to... I think I'm going to pull you back. I think you have to be careful on that, because things have changed so much. And you do genuinely, all right, because if that research was done in 2013, it will have been updated. And actually, I think you're obligated to go and find more recent information.
Yeah.
Because so much has changed. Because not least of which, that the page layout that you're talking about is historic. And it is very, very different.
It
now.
Is certainly different.
So members of the jury, you must disregard the statistical evidence provided by the witness.
Yes. And Google's job undoubtedly is to get more people to click on the adverts. That's but they're also obligated, because if those organic links weren't there and they weren't good quality, then undoubtedly people would stop using Google as a search engine and start using Bing or Yahoo.
All right. So I get that, and I thank you again for making my key argument for me. Because you're right. What you just said there is Google are spending more effort and putting more time to get people to click on the paid traffic because that's the Google model. And I do recognise that the paid traffic has to sit. What Google are absolutely obsessive about is the quality of the results. They want to send people to pages that are fulfilling for the visitor, because they'll continue to use Google. So we can agree on that.
Yep.
But again, you just laid out for me one of the major reasons to spend your money on the paid traffic and get good at that, because not only do you get instant response, it's absolutely trackable. You haven't got this time delay, but Google are also working harder and harder with the best brains on the planet helping them to do it to make your ads
to take as much money out of your advertiser's pocket as possible.
But as long as you're getting a return on your investment,
yes,
and your cost per lead and cost per sale is acceptable,
but there's
that's
the
a good
kicker
thing.
Not everybody is. Not everybody can. And we work with so many businesses where actually pay-per-click does not work for them. And you could argue, oh well, Nick, you've not done it well enough, but I would argue the opposite. Yeah. And we've also worked with other firms.
Do you want to start on that one then?
Yeah, absolutely. But then we've done organic for these customers, and it's absolutely delivered results.
So talk us through then, because we are going to have to end this in a moment or two then. So if I was to hire you, I mean, it's not going to happen, Nick, I won't lie, but let's just hypothecate for a moment. Yeah. So if I was to hire you to, manage my SEO for me, what just very briefly, what's going to happen? How are you going to do it? What's it going to cost me?
So we're going to make sure that your website is good quality. Okay. So it's going to load, make sure it's loading quickly. Now, obviously, if we're not looking after your website, then it might be a case of highlighting it and pushing it back to your web developer.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to make sure it's high quality, flag any broken links, get those fixed. Are there any missing files on there? Get those fixed. When Google comes in, it goes, right, this is a high quality site. The next step is to make sure that the pages are optimized. I've missed the first step of the keyword research, but we come in, the first thing we do is make sure we do that piece of research, and then work with you to identify the content that you need on the
site. So you do the research for the keyword, in other words, because that's important, isn't it? Because there's no such thing as SEO per se.
Yeah,
it's you want to optimize your website's appearance in the search engine results for specific keywords and phrases that are most likely to indicate interested parties.
Correct.
So you do that keyword research first. Yep. You then validate and verify and optimize that the site
is set up and that the
pages are set up
to
work for that. I get mm-hmm. that, and that's where all the meta stuff kind of comes in.
Yep.
Then you Then you start to track it.
Yeah, we put the tracking into place to see how those keywords are performing, make sure they're continually climbing and on a good trajectory.
Okay.
Make sure that we're tracking any conversions leads through the site, whether it's through forms, whether it's through phone calls, whether it's a purchase on the site.
Okay.
And then we're constantly coming in and altering the site to amend things depending on the trajectory, and with that it might be coming back to somebody and saying, well, actually we could do with another piece of content mm-hmm. in this area mm-hmm. because actually your competition have got lots of elements, and you know they're getting the win because of that, and really working with the business to make sure the result is delivered.
Okay, you really believe this stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I see it working all the time. That's the bottom line to it. So
no, listen, and I think it may have sounded a little bit like question time at one point today, where you've got these two opposed parties. I mean, fundamentally, there's actually quite a bit of ground in the middle that we do actually agree on. Certainly around the structure of the site and the content, mm-hmm. etc. I'm absolutely with you, and I do get about the long term nature as well. If you are building a site for a business that you plan to be around, then actually clearly getting high in the search engines is a good thing to do. I do think people need to be very wary of, so, you know, it's a marketing pillar that for most businesses will be somewhere down the pecking order, because I'm fairly sure every business will have two or three or four other marketing pillars that they should be doing first before they're spending money on SEO, not least because of the time it's going to take to show meaningful results. But I do appreciate you are up for the challenge, and I do appreciate, it's not necessarily a straightforward thing, and I appreciate that. We've had a little bit of fun, and you know, I think hopefully everyone listening, there's only a couple of people listening, so it isn't that many people listening.
Absolutely.
But they're probably
on the way to an EC event as we speak.
They'll be in the car driving somewhere.
Yeah.
Apart from Phil Coleman, who's probably eating his lunch right now, the other person listening will be in the car. But listen, thank you ever so much for joining me.
Thank you, Nick.
Do you want to give a quick little, if you want to talk to Nick about this and pursue it anymore, how can they get hold of you?
Yeah, so the phone number is 01243 888 555, 01243 888 555, or email nick at websitesuccess.co.uk.
It is a very appropriately named business.
Hopefully.
Website success. Nick Fenmore Collins, thank you very much for helping us to get 2018 underway.
Don't forget it's
January.
January,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And put on our snowshoes and try and make our way out of here.
with the podcast. Nick, thanks so much. Cheerio, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneurs Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell.